Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no question in my mind. They don't like there's a bluff there. I think there's a bluff there. Jonathan Kuminga, like I'm ready to be wrong, and I might be when we get back here on Monday. I do not think Jonathan Kuminga is taking the qualifying offer. What a horrible idea for him. What a terrible idea for him, for his agent, for his career. Like, that's taking an argument and a disagreement to a completely different level. $40 million guaranteed dollars. But the problem is they've been so public with their disdain for this current offer that now he's going to look tail between his legs if he takes it. And that's unfortunate because it's a very fair offer. To me, this is the middle ground. Nobody loves it, and that's where negotiations should end up. Jonathan wants to be in the Kings. Sorry, that doesn't work for the Warriors. Okay, you could do the qualifying offer. That's terrible for everybody. Warriors wanted to do a 1+1. That's not very nice to Kuminga. All right, let's do a 2+1 for very fair market value offer. Totally fair. Totally fair. It's as close as you're going to get because it's not perfect for the Warriors either. They're going to have to guarantee 2 years, and they hope they can trade him. Jonathan has to take a non-player option, and therefore, as you say, he may not control his playing time, and he also doesn't control where he gets ends up. Sorry. I mean, welcome to life being a professional athlete. Sometimes
you
get traded.
Well, it's not sorry. If that is your number one thing that you want, then you don't sign the deal.
Then pay $40 million for your control.
He's not paying $40 million. You're assuming that he's going to get zero the next year.
No.
And this is where I don't understand the $40 million part of it, because he plays for 7.9. He's going to get something for that next year. So he's not giving up $40
million. He might be if he gets hurt.
If he doesn't play, then he gets zero the next year?
No, not zero.
That's not happening.
No, we're talking about guarantees. We're talking about guarantees. The only thing we can guarantee is that qualifying offer is 8, signed contract is 48. That's all we know. I don't know how healthy he's going to be next year. Of course, you're probably right. There'll be some sort of a contract. It won't be $32 million. I don't think he's going to make that in a given year.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I mean, he might get a contract for $40 million a year.
His agent admitted on our station last week that it's giving up money if he does this, that he will lose money in the process.
In the short term, yeah, for sure.
And long term. He said
depending on what he gets in the open market. He already said that he's been in contact with a number of teams, more than the ones that you've actually heard about. So
okay. They
think that there's more of a market for Kuminga than you do.
No, I don't have an opinion on what the market is.
You've already said that there's not going to be money out there for him.
No, I said there's not going to be that amount of money, and he said the same thing. Like, that doesn't make sense right now in this moment. I don't know what the pathway is to that. I'm simply telling you that a good negotiation leads to a middle ground where both sides have to be like, ugh, that part sucks. That's where you want to land. That's what this deal represents to me. It's not perfect for either side. There is no perfect, clearly.
For them, the middle ground is the player option, because they think that he's worth what Cam Johnson got and what Jalen Green got. I'm sorry, Jalen Johnson. That's what they think.
They're nuts.
Well, I'm not talking about, I'm not making judgment on anything other than their thoughts and the Warriors' thoughts. So you're saying that this is the middle ground? They don't think so. If they thought this was the middle ground, then they would take this deal.
Well,
they don't think that this is the middle ground. They think that this is them capitulating to a 3-year deal where the team controls his future, and they don't want that.
Yeah, I actually think that those are their words, but I don't really buy it.
Well, we're going to find out. Yeah, so far, that's what they're telling you with their action.
But they're also telling us, we're going to take that QO. We're going to do it.
They might.
Then do it.
Well, why
do it?
They don't have to now.
No, they don't have to.
They can wait, and maybe there's a sign and trade. Sam Amick yesterday in The Athletic talking about, you know, communication percolating back up for the first time in a month. And if you wait, maybe the Warriors do blink and they give him a 2-year with a player option for the third. He's under no immediate pressure on September 25th to sign that deal.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all.
The damage is already done. This negotiation has already dragged to the point where I think that there's hurt feelings on both sides.
For sure.
The deadline's October 1st. It's not today.
No, it's not. But again, the Warriors, I mean, Tim just detailed this to us. They can very easily go, okay, Jonathan, this offer that's on the table is going to just, whoop, it's going to start going away. That first-year money is just going to go down, down, down because we want to sign Al Horford so we can introduce him on Monday. That is pressure. Plus, he's got teammates. There's a season that's about to start. Like, I'm not saying his teammates are calling him and putting, like, telling him what to do. I don't think players do that to each other. But there is absolutely pressure here. The clock is ticking. There's pressure here.
The clock is not up. So
no, it's not up.
You've taken it this far. You've gone this far down the field. I don't think it does you any good on September 25th to blink now. The damage is done. You've taken this thing all the way down. It's like 4th and 1 at the 1. And you're Shanahan, it's like, we could settle and kick the field goal. But darn it, we want to get in the end zone. And the Niners didn't get in the end zone.
But the money could go down.
Yeah,
the money could go down.
Okay, then have the money go down.
If I'm
Kuminga, I'm going to say, all right, lower your offer, I dare you. Now, you're not going to say that to them, but that's basically what you're saying. Okay. All right, you want to lower the offer? Lower the offer. They're allowed to.
Yeah.
And he's allowed to wait till October 1st and play for 7.9. So
that's an expensive way to do it.
Well, they've already shown you to this point that they're not afraid of that. They've taken it all the way to this point.
Oh, I think they're totally afraid of that. I think that's why he spent an hour on our radio station.
Yeah, I don't think that was fear. I think that was posturing. That was them saying, you know, we might do it, sending a message to everyone.
Yeah, and so why does that message need to be public? Like, again, if you're that willing to do it, then do it.
Because you understand that the Warriors really don't want that. Maybe more than you don't want that.
I wonder.
If you want to put that, like, who doesn't want that more? Do the Warriors want that 7.9 less than he wants 7.9, I would bet the Warriors would be more motivated slightly to get something done so that then they can trade him and his salary spot.
You might be right, but it's pretty awful for both, and you and I have the same question percolating in our head, which is, and I know we never do this when we talk out negotiations in the public where all our hands are in somebody else's bag over here. But when we publicly talk this out, we think about what's the final answer, who's going to win the deal. Whatever happens, as soon as it happens, then life needs to happen. And I just, on the qualifying offer, you and I agree, I don't know how that happens. Like, if it gets to that and you just take the QO, I don't know how you show up to work. There's going to be so much tension in the room off of that.
Oh, yeah, imagine Monday, media day. So he comes out Sunday and he says,
I don't know how you function. I don't know how the Warriors function if he takes the QO.
Especially because he has no trade clause.
I don't know how he functions.
Well, you show up, you lace him up, and you go out there and you do what you're told to do.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's ideal. Wow. It's actually so far from ideal. But I also think that if you think about that as the possible result, who is more repulsed by that? And I think the team is slightly more repulsed by the idea of he's back for 7.9, he has a no trade, you can't trade him, and he's going to walk for nothing.
You might be right. I mean, I don't know exactly what the emotions of everybody involved are, but it's sort of like being like one's an F and the other's a D-. Yuck and yuck.
Totally.
Like just terrible, terrible, terrible outcome. And I think that's why they start barking about it so loud. And I think it's why the Warriors are so dug in. I don't think that they believe he'll do that. And I know that they don't want to do that. And it's a nuclear option.
Yep. And who gets more of the shrapnel from the explosion?
Doesn't matter.
Everybody
gets. I think everybody does.
I think the Warriors take much more of the shrapnel.
I don't even know if they'll play him if he does that.
Right. And so you got a guy who is going to walk. Your number 7 pick. You're going to pay him 7.9 to chill in streets and you get nothing for him?
Brutal for both.
Yikes.
Brutal for both. We're sponsored by Moderna. 888-957-9570. If you missed what Joe Thomas, Hall of Fame offensive lineman, longtime Cleveland Brown, if you missed what he said about Kyle Shanahan yesterday, you need to hear it. Maybe even more importantly, though, we are 38 minutes away from the pick. The pick.
The pick is in.
He's 12-2. Thursday night football is upon us. Do you like money or not? 450. And then Adam Amin, who's calling the Niner game, joins us at 5. Don't move. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I checked my contract. It does not say that I have to be. I just choose to be. That's it. I do it by choice. Someone's got a question for you, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 408. Does anybody know if Dibs actually places these bets?
Oh, yeah. 1-800-BET-BET-BET.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a pool, if that counts, and there is money involved in the pool. So it's by the very nature of it, it's wagering.
Yeah, it's kind of a toe in the water, but it's not all the way in.
So if I was like using one of these online services and I bet $5 on all my picks, that would be even more milquetoast than what I actually do, which is 10 clams a week. You pick every game, and if you win, you get money. So right. That, in essence, is gambling.
It is. However, you could win that money without even hitting the picks that you give out on air.
Correct.
Like, 'cause that's only a small fraction of the picks you make.
And it's all confidence-based. So, yeah. Like, for example, this could be my number one, which is the lowest confidence pick, and I could get it right, big whoop. Great example. Last week, against the spread, ATS, I was 9-7 on the week, but I took second place because my most confident picks were the ones where I did very well.
By the way, you don't have, like, the only answer that's needed here is the accurate one. I don't think any, you don't have to bet them.
Right.
They're there for the public to do what they want to do with them.
Yeah, I don't.
We'd all be millionaires if we would just listen to you from the beginning of the year, but we haven't.
I don't standalone bet on them, but I make my picks on every single game, and the picks are in. All 16 picks have been made. And I think through 48 games, I'm 31-17 overall, which is pretty good, but 12-2 on the on-air ones.
Really good.
Really good. Yeah. So I'm off to a good start.
Professional bettors are trying to get to 55%.
55, yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
And I think I'm at like 64, 65 right now.
41-17, you said?
Yeah, so 64.6.
It is?
Yep. Yeah, because 32 would be 66.6.
Yeah, 41
out of 48.
Oh, I thought you said 41. 41-17?
48 games so far. I'm okay, 31-17.
And so, got it. That's
64.6.
I'm like, that's more like 70-something. Got it. Okay, 31. Yeah. No, that's right. Very good.
So,
very good.
Short answer is no. I don't, I'm kind of.
But you will tonight. Woo, you will tonight.
Yeah, you're darn right. 12-2. I'm going to lay the lumber on this mother jumper.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to put it all on whatever you say.
Okay.
All of it.
But you've already told me that you wrote down, you're playing pick the pick.
Yeah.
You're going to pick what you think I'm going to pick. And this is maybe my new favorite part of this. Pick the pick? We're going to play pick the pick.
Hang on, I'm getting a pick.
Because you and I know each other.
We'll write it down.
You and I go back 20-something years, and we've gotten a lot closer over the last four because we talk to each other 20 hours a week. Uh-huh. plus texting around the clock, plus the occasional Super Bowl party. So I would expect you, 8 out of 10, to be accurate when you pick my pick. I mean, you should be able to pick the pick.
I just picked the pick.
You picked the pick.
And Seattle's 1.5-point favorite?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Although in my pool, they're 1.5-point dog.
Which I wonder, like, would you ever be willing to do what the opposite of what you did in your pool at the beginning of the week when something moves 3 points like that? That's a huge move.
I would if I weren't 12-2.
I would.
Last year I did, actually. Yeah. I started to fade the fade.
I do.
You just like fade yourself?
I was going so bad that I was like, I think that this team's going to win, but I'm going to fade myself.
I like that.
I'm going to fade. I want y'all to fade with me.
If you ever make a pick and then start clapping against yourself, that's when we've arrived.
Fade. That was last year.
I picked the pick. 4:50.
Okay.
28 minutes. 27 minutes now. 27 minutes. Dan Dibley makes his selection. Okay. Adam Amin, who will call the game for Fox, joins us right after that. He'll be on at 5 because somebody needs to come on and stop all of the clapping that will be going on starting at about 4:52.
My first question for Adam Amin, if I'm allowed a question, shout out Tim Kawakami.
TBD.
Did you stay here? Because they had the game here last Sunday.
I don't know if they know right away what their assignment is.
These are all questions I have.
Yeah, and that's a good question.
Adam and Sanchez and I believe Christina Pink on sideline duty. They had the game here last weekend. So do you just get to stay? Do you stick and stay? Or do you have like a family you have to go back to?
Why did you air quotes family like
because
that?
Because if I'm Adam Amin and I don't have a family, I'm going to stay in San Francisco.
Yeah, but what if you do?
Then you got to go home and see the wife and kids.
Yeah, you said that like it's so awful. A family.
I don't know. I mean, he could have like twin 5-month-olds. At which point, I'm going to stay.
Honey,
it's Adam. Yeah. They want me to stay. I'm going to see you when I see you. Kiss.
Hey, totally. Yeah. Lucas, do you know where Adam lives? You guys are like buddies or something, right?
Chicago, I think Chicago.
He's based in Chicago.
Yep.
He does Bulls TV throughout the season.
Yeah, but they didn't play this week. So,
yet.
Maybe he did.
Great city. And I think September, Chicago is probably pretty awesome. You're in the tail end of the heat of the summer, and you're not quite yet to the...
Not as good as it was here this week. If you get done with the game on Sunday, and you know you have production meetings by Thursday and Friday... And you pull out your little app, and it's like, San Francisco is going to be 82 degrees on Tuesday. I would be like, ooh, it'd be a pretty good week to stay. We all know about San Francisco in the summer and the weather and the microclimates and all these things. When the weather is warm actually in the city, is there a more beautiful place on earth?
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, my God.
Even with yesterday's, thunder and lightning and...
That was a weird one.
Rain and...
Yeah, we've had some, humid
you
days.
You go from 100 on Monday to rain on Wednesday? Hey, Mother Nature, what are you doing? What are you doing? Straighten it out.
All right, two things. Hey, you need to know this. Brock Purdy just spoke. And that in and of itself tells you everything you need to know. On Thursday, the starting quarterback talks. On Thursday, the starting quarterback takes the first reps out at practice. Brock Purdy did both of those things today.
Mac also talked, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but afterward, right?
Actually, Mac was first.
Oh, but not in practice.
I don't know about practice.
Yeah, practice, yeah. Brock went first. Brock
at the podium, first. Mac was first.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have a quarterback controversy. We have a press conference controversy is what we have.
No, he's playing. I'm pretty sure he's playing.
I agree. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll play for you some of what he said, but we also promised this. I want to throw this at everybody because I thought that it was big. It was big. And I wonder if for anybody this holds any sort of a weight. It's no different than you ever experienced this? You ever have somebody meet your family members? You always talk about your upbringing.
Yep.
And there were some bumps in that road, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, but somebody
there might... There was a road on those bumps is more like it.
Somebody might meet your brother or your sister or your parents and just look at you and be like, well, they're lovely. They're lovely. And then what goes through your head when that happens?
What's wrong with you?
Exactly. So I wonder, because fans are emotionally attached to their team, we know all the warts. If somebody is like, boy, the Niners have had a lot of success in the draft in recent years, your mind as a fan goes, Solomon Thomas, and you freak out, Trey Lance, because you know you're there, you're closer emotionally. So I get it. There might be a lot of you who are thinking to yourself through the years and the Super Bowl losses and whatnot that you see the warts on Kyle Shanahan. But when a Hall of Fame offensive tackle says something like this, I wonder if it gives anybody pause or kind of you take notice of something. We asked Joe Thomas about his experience when Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator in Cleveland. Listen to what he said.
Well, I always tell people he was the best coach in any sport that I've ever been around, because he knew how to motivate players in a way that I think was intrinsically more motivating than any other style. You know, there's guys that like to be your buddy. That doesn't usually work. They like to be hard on you, which works a lot with younger players. And, you know, if they're always screaming and yelling at you, it works a little bit at times. But I think with Kyle is he would show you on film, first of all, that he knew what every single player on offense needed to do on that play. He could coach it all up. I've never been around an offensive coordinator that could coach O-line because most of them come from the passing game. They come from the quarterback room or the receiver room. But he could coach every position. And then he would show you on film with empirical data that, hey, I'm putting you in the best position to possibly succeed. We are giving you the answers to the test before you go out there and play. And then now it's up to you to just play at your best. And knowing that I already had an advantage schematically, that my coach was putting me in the best position to succeed on every single play, like that's the most motivating thing for a professional athlete who's trying to feed his family, who's trying to go out there and either prove that he can be a great player or prove that he still is a great player. And he really builds that team mentality within the offense, at least when he was with me. And I'm sure he's doing the same thing now that he's the head coach, just because he was able to motivate you to just show you exactly what you needed to do. And that if you just do what he asks, you're going to be in a better position to go overcome whatever weakness that you may have, because you have the advantage over your opponent.
Such a big statement that he makes right off the top there. And the way he said it, quote, I always tell people he's the best coach I've ever been around in any sport. That's a lot of coaches. That's a lot of coaches that he's been around, a professional athlete. Think about that through youth and high school and college and then the pros and all the turnover that happens in Cleveland where they change coaches like underwear. I mean, that's a lot of coaches. And he says, I always say that. That's the best coach I've been around ever in any sport. That was a monstrous, monstrous statement. And I guess, look, I've made no bones about this, and I know you are too. Most of us, and I think most Niner fans, are pretty big Kyle Shanahan fans. But what pops to my mind off of this idea is that we spend way too much time assessing coaches based on their record and their resume.
The results, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, I even think I heard Steiningoo talking about this today, and somebody said that they would take Nick Sirianni over Shanahan. Are you crazy?
I do think it's somewhat debatable.
I don't. My God. I think that's absolutely, that's lunacy.
Just depends on what you're looking at. And right now, Nick Sirianni in a small sample size has had more success than Shanahan in terms of what you're talking about, wins and losses. And the way they're doing it in Philadelphia, they've lost one time in their last 20 games.
Very good.
And they've got two unbelievably talented, high-priced receivers that they usually don't use very often.
They did last week.
They've got a quarterback that they'd rather not let throw and a running back who's having an okay year, and yet they just keep winning. So it's a different style, certainly, of Sirianni versus Shanahan. Now, I would take Shanahan just because I've seen him a lot more up close and personal, but there's more to it than just that beautiful laminated play sheet. Nick Sirianni's got something going in Philly where that team plays hard for him and they win for him.
No, he's done a nice job. I it's certainly not about that. It's just like, put it this way, if they hadn't won that game in February, I don't think anybody on planet Earth would say that. I do not think anybody on planet Earth would say that. They coached against one another in a very, very large game twice. One of them, the 49ers, clowned them. The other one, sure, Philly got the win. The Niners quarterback's arm fell off. The whole story, we get it. But I just think that it's like once you get that one Super Bowl win, it sort of elevates you above anybody who hasn't automatically in the minds of some. And I don't understand that. And if you listen to Joe talk, when he talked about what he likes in a coach, at no point is he sitting there going, because we won the Super Bowl. In fact, he played for the Browns, so he rarely won anything.
Right.
He rarely won on a Sunday. But coaching is happening constantly all the time. And we know so many people. We've talked to so many people who play for this guy. And the answer tends to come out pretty similarly all the time. And there's, I don't know, man, there's a lot of value in that to me, because don't we always say that a coach sort of, they wear out their welcome? Or we talked about Bob Melvin this way yesterday. When do you lose the locker room? I don't think Kyle ever has. I don't think he's ever lost a locker room.
If he would have, they would have been gone. And Jim Harbaugh never lost the locker room, but he lost the executive room. Mm-hmm. He lost the boardroom, which was enough. And to Joe Thomas's comments, first year Joe Thomas plays, he's a rookie, they go 10-6. They didn't make the playoffs, as I said in the crossover. He's one of the great players to never make the playoffs. He has bad year after bad year. They go 4-12. Shanny comes into Cleveland as the offensive coordinator, and their quarterbacks are Brian Hoyer, a guy named Connor Shaw, and Johnny Manziel. They go 7-9. That goes down as the second best year for Cleveland in the Joe Thomas era. Yep. Shanahan leaves, they go 3-13. So they go 4-12, Shanny 7-9, no Shanny 3-13. I'm not saying it's all him.
No,
because I'm looking at,
that's interesting.
And you want to talk about Trevor Lawrence's numbers? All three of those quarterbacks, 54.6% completion percentage. Their offense was god awful. Their defense, typically nasty. They won 7 games, but to hear Joe Thomas talk about that and the way he described it, like he's schematically is going to put you in the best position. He's going to show you on film what you're doing well and what you're not doing right. And those things, if you're a pro like Joe Thomas, and that was year 8 or year 9, and you got a guy coming in, a young whippersnapper, who's going to show you and help you get better, that's what these guys really want.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, look, right, that's going to help me feed my family. I'm going to get a better player. We're going to be a better team. We're going to make more money. Absolutely. All right, we told you that Brock Purdy spoke. Let's take a listen. The first question is obvious. Hey, dude, you playing?
It's been good. Really like where I'm at with the progress with it healing up and feeling better and dropping back, throwing, and like where I'm at. So it's been good. So
you're playing Sunday for sure.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm taking it day by day still, but feel a lot better.
So you're playing for sure, super double sure, positive, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Feeling good. I mean, yeah. Feeling good, Lewis.
There was a grin in there.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like he's playing.
Other than having a setback, absolutely. And I do think that had the game last Sunday been on Monday, he might have been able to go on Monday.
Maybe.
I think he got to that spot and it was, you know, not 50-50, but probably 70-30. And so they took the more cautious approach and held him out.
All right. How's the toe healing, Brock Purdy?
I liked my progress last week with where I was at and in terms of feeling better, getting better. And so it was just a day-by-day decision. It's the same thing this week, but, I mean, it's no secret. Like, it's been 2.5 weeks or so, and just overall, man, my toe's healed up. It's gotten better, and so when Eddie hit the game-winning field goal, yeah, I could jump a little bit. So I was good enough to do that.
Okay. He was able to jump for joy when Eddie won the game. He was asked, everybody's poking different ways to get him to say that he's going to play. Have you done enough at practice to play on Sunday?
Definitely. Just dropping back and throwing and feeling good about, you know, playing the position of quarterback. And, you know, for me, it's still a day-by-day thing, you know, going up to game time and see how I feel. But I really do think that it's been good progress, good work, and I just feel better overall just with my body and mentally of attacking this game plan and being ready if I'm able to go.
Okay. It's funny the way he said that there at the end. It's like, if, If I'm able to go.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, the tone of it certainly sounds like he is. Hey, remember our conversation last week about can you make it worse? I mean, obviously you can. You're playing football, so you could. But he was asked that question. Here's his answer.
Honestly, it's, you know, it's just like any other injury. You know, if you hurt something, then, you know, you can go back out and there's a chance or a possibility of it happening again. That's the nature of the sport that we play. But, you know, for me, like I said, if I'm stepping out in the field, I want to feel really good and not thinking about anything else in terms of am I going to hurt it, am I not. If I'm on the field, I'm not going to be thinking about that.
I just think as 49er fans, we kind of have to settle with the anxiety. I totally get why it's there. We've been battered by this as fans. There's no question about it. It seems constant. You eye roll. The frustration happens every Monday right now. There are a lot of years that feel like this. But at the same time, if a player's ready to play, they play. The player's ready to play, they play. For me, where I struggle is the concept of it's only week four, so bottle him up so that you can have him later. I think it diminishes the importance of this game and every game, number one. And number two, I do not think it guarantees anything later at all. So
yeah, number three, that's not the way this works.
Yeah.
Like, if he is good enough to play, he plays. If Christian McCaffrey is good enough to go out there and catch and block and run with the football, then you're not going to just think, all right, 22 snaps. We're already ahead of pace where we want Christian to be. So that's it. We're going to keep him at 22 touches at the most. If he's healthy, you play him. And if you play him, you use him to where you win the game. So if he's at 26 touches and there's 5 minutes to go and it's third and one and you need to pick up a first down, but he's at 26 touches, he gets the football. If he's healthy, if he's at 30 touches and it's third and two and you need a touchdown and you're at their 20-yard line, you call a play to throw him the football. And it doesn't matter if he's on pace for 423 touches. And Steiny did the math, and he's not wrong that is a gaudy number. But you've had really tight games, and you don't have other weaponry. So if you're in a tight game again against Jacksonville, and spoiler alert, I think it's going to be a really tight game. Oh. Vegas thinks so too. It's a 3-point spread.
Okay.
If you get in that spot, either you're leading and you need to salt it away, he gets it, or you're trailing and you need to recover, he gets it. So it's the same thing with Brock. If he's good enough, he plays.
More Purdy, DeMarcus Robinson is back with the team.
Awesome. Just having him back out and obviously seeing, you know, what he had done at camp, and it's the same thing. You know, he comes back out and is feeling fresh and looks great and great hands. So excited to have him back and in the game plan.
I'm glad that we've got three games under our belt. I'd like to throw something at you right
here.
DeMarcus Robinson adjacent. Ricky Pearsall look like a one to you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
When Juwan Jennings is healthy, you like the presence that he brings to the field?
Yeah. Okay. You know, yeah, he's been clutch.
You're excited about, like, DeMarcus Robinson is a veteran, successful player, and had a really good camp, according to all reports. So
super excited about it because of what he potentially brings that nobody else has right now.
Which is?
Take the top off.
Okay, take the top
off. Wait, take that top off. You know, with this hot weather we've had, you want to take the top off and just let the sun shine down. This offense so desperately needs a threat.
All right. So pretend everybody's healthy.
Okay.
That's super exciting. I know that's a crazy thought.
Brandon Ayuk too? Or?
Well, that's my question.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the queue.
That's okay.
Darn it. All right.
What do you do? Like Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, and then here comes Brandon Ayuk. What do you do?
I think it's going to be situational. Ricky gets the 85% share of receiver snaps, and then situationally. Third down, yeah, Juwan. If it's just a two-receiver set, DeMarcus, you're not going to play. If Ayuk is totally healthy and it's, you know, second down and four and you're going to run it, you're going to have Juwan in there instead of Brandon because Juwan's a better blocker. I think it's situational.
And maybe it will only be this way for the rest of the year because he's only getting a half year and he might still be getting his legs underneath him and whatnot, but my God, what an expensive situational player.
Yeah.
Holy hell. I mean, I just, like, this is obviously down the road.
Way down the road,
get himself figured out. But I wonder what that receiving core is going to look like. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, but let's be real. We know what we're here for. Dan, we're here for the pick.
It's a Dan day.
It is now.
Whoa.
We reveal the pick. He reveals the pick. Coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Not bad, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know, they gotta stop laughing at him. But start laughing at him. 3-2 is cute. 4-2 is adorable. 5-2, eyebrows raised. 12-2.
12-2.
Hey, man, you better stop laughing. Better stop laughing.
Laugh it up, fuzzball. Shout out Star Wars for those of you who partake.
That was good.
Thank you.
We're still 60 seconds away. We promised it. So I'm going to do this thing for a second, okay? And then we're going to do the pick. Adam Amin in 11 minutes. The voice of this particular Niners game on Fox this weekend. Hey, Dub Nation, preseason right around the corner, as you know. 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 on Saturday, October 4th for a Warriors preseason special. And we break down either Jonathan Kuminga's role, whether it's with the Warriors or the Kings. You will not want to miss it. Live appearances from Warriors favorites, Festus Ezeli, Zaza Nothing Easy, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and more. Plus your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. And if that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from noon to 4. It is hoops, it is hype, and the season is almost here on your station for everything Warriors, 95.7 The Game. All right, speaking of hype, I literally just asked, for all of you listening out there, I just asked Dan Dibley, are you nervous? And he said no.
No.
Because the pick is already in.
Yep, the pick is in.
I said, that's not the part you need to be nervous about.
What should I be nervous about?
When you go 12-2, there's now energy surrounding you.
Energy.
There are people out in the world who are now going to start trusting you. Some already have.
Right.
Some are late to the party. And then there will be the naysayers who are like, he's due. And play it the other way and still continue to fade. But whatever it is, it's energy and it's surrounding you. It's 4:50. You are the center of attention. You are the focus. Everybody is waiting on your words. So are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous.
Well, then let's fade the difference.
Let's do it.
Oh, NFC West, tell me what it feels like if you root for a team that's lost a game. I don't know what that feels like.
Right.
But both these teams have. In fact, both of them have lost to, checks notes, the 49ers. But they're undefeated outside of that. They obviously can both play a little ball, and tonight, in the desert, they're going to do that with one another. Obviously, a short week for both. Here we go on Thursday night. It's Sammy D and the Seahawks against Kyler and the Cardinals. And at post time, it is the Seahawks who are the favorite by 1.5. Dan?
Well, you know I love a Thursday home team because you don't really have to worry about the travel. And Seattle's going from Seattle. Arizona had to come back from the Bay. So there's that. And you also know that I like a divisional matchup to be close. Yes. So you've got Arizona getting a point and a half. And if you look at this division so far, very good defenses, all four of them. Very low-scoring games for the most part. Seattle put it on New Orleans at home.
Sure.
Big whoop. And then you start thinking about the players on the field. No James Conner. He is out for the year. And looking at the late inactives, Zay Jones inactive for Arizona.
Well, that might be punishment for not holding on to the ball.
Might be. But, yeah. Whatever that is, this spread started out with the Seahawks as dogs, and now the Seahawks are favored. Mm-hmm. And you know something about that home dog that you absolutely love. But when I look at this matchup, Mark, this one to me, pretty straightforward. Seattle had an easier time last weekend. Arizona got beat up, and now they have to go home against a physical Seattle team. The road spot doesn't scare me, and I like Seattle's offense more than I like a Connerless Arizona. We're going to go ahead and take the road team. We're going to take the Seahawks and lay the point and a half.
Are you kidding me?
Did you pick the pick?
I picked the pick.
Show me. Show me the pick.
I'll show the YouTube audience, too.
Show the audience. Mark is going to pick the pick. Oh! What is wrong with you? We're taking Seattle and laying the point and a half.
I thought you'd take Arizona because you gave me a little nod yesterday.
Nod?
Yeah, you gave me
a nod.
Might
have been my Tourette's.
Well, it was like, you know, when a spread doesn't quite add up, like lean into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that was obviously at a time where the spread's been on the move. I'm like, Seattle, wait a minute. Seattle is an underdog? Why is Arizona favored in this football game? And then it moved, but it's still a very, very tight spread. In fact, where I'm looking at it, and I get it, it's FanDuel says point and a half. I'm looking at it actually moving at this hour all the way to a point. And so when that home dog, you know,
you
have
a home dog.
Yeah. And I'm like, when the number's like that, something, I don't know, just feels a little out of whack. So lean into it. And you kind of gave me a little smile, like that's what you thought you might do. And so in that moment, I decided that you were going to go Arizona. But you didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. And I made the pick yesterday morning. And the more I think about it, and the road spot is always touchy on a Thursday night. You and I have had this discussion. I think it's offset by a couple things. One, Seattle to Arizona, not a dramatic flight. Arizona had to travel as well from San Francisco. But the big factor that's swaying me, other than the injury to James Conner, is Arizona had a four-quarter physical dogfight of a game. And Seattle, they were chilling. They were straight chilling. I know it's still tackle football, but I think the fact that Seattle had an easier time, it wasn't as physical of a game, and they've got the better offense. Even if you look at the two defenses and say, they're probably about even, they're both good, I think Seattle's offense is just better. Although I don't know if Charbonnet...
He's in.
He is going to play.
He's in.
All right, fine. I like it even more.
Wow.
Take Seattle, lay the point half, kakoosh. There it is.
So have you noticed...
It's my third most confident pick of the week, by the way, in my confidence pool.
No, but have you noticed the change in sound of Fade the Devers?
I got a little bounce in my step?
No.
Everybody like, else.
Oh, I'm not hearing a lot of clapping and singing.
Lucas, here's what happened. Lucas is clapping, but he decided to leave his mic off.
Okay.
Grandy, if you heard under his breath, went... Yeah.
Because he probably likes Seattle too.
No, I think the opposite is true.
No, I like Seattle. I'm just in it for the bit. I always want to fade Dibs, even if he's 12 and 10.
I see. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I, whether it was just because I picked the pick or whatever, I just started, and this isn't good for radio, but I just started rubbing my temple.
Yeah.
Because.
The bit used to be a lot more fun for you three. You guys have really lost that love and feeling.
I have faith that it will be again someday.
No doubt.
I'm pretty torn because I want to see this keep going, so I want Dibs to win.
Exactly.
But I also really want to fade him.
Just because it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just because it's fun, or did you come in with preconceived notions? Do you believe the Cardinals are going to win the game?
I do. I like the Cardinals.
I thought the Cardinals were going to win the game, and that's why I'm rubbing my temples, because I'm now, I believe you, and I believe in you, Dibs.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing
it's a tough spot to be in.
And I'm just conflicted. And then it just ends up with self-loathing. That's all it is. It's self-loathing. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's a tough one too because Arizona lost to the Niners. I get that, but if you look at it from the Arizona side of it, they kind of gave it away. Harrison,
I don't
and,
buy that.
No,
I'm
saying if you're an Arizona fan, you look at the Marvin Harrison drop, which was 40 yards, and the running back guy,
DeMarcado.
Thank you. I was going to say D something else, and I knew I'd be wrong. So DeMarcado, that's a walk-in touchdown. So if you're an Arizona fan, you're thinking,
and you have the lead, right?
If we can just button up those little things, we win that game.
Sure.
And you know, Seattle might make similar arguments about their loss to the Niners.
No doubt. No doubt.
The tiebreaker for me was the James Conner injury, because I don't believe that Benson can be an effective runner against Seattle.
Oh, that's interesting. I like Trey Benson. I think Trey Benson's a good player. Trey Benson, like many players, Jordan Mason and whatnot, like just it's a matter of opportunity. He has played well in the little spots that he's gotten. We'll see. He's going to get his chance now.
Yep.
Because this is a long-term thing. So Benson has the opportunity to be RB1 for the rest of the year. And he's a pretty high draft pick. And so I think they liked him at one point. I don't know where that's all going to go, but I don't know that downgrades the Cardinals much. Both of these teams, 3 weeks into a season, you feel like you've got a little bit of a read on some of the teams, not all of them. I would argue the NFC West remains the most confusing or fuzzy division out there. Everybody's got a winning record.
Everybody's beating the Saints, except the Rams.
Everybody's beating the Saints. Sam Darnold in a new address, you're like, I'm not sure. The Cardinals not only have beaten the Saints, they've beaten the Panthers and did so in a difficult fashion there toward the end. The Niners we've not really seen healthy. And just when the Rams were about to tell you that they're a dominant football team, they completely barfed on themselves for an entire half in Philadelphia. So I'm like, I don't know if the identity of any of the four is fully evident yet. And then toss in Thursday night, which is a weird equalizer of sorts anyway. I don't know what the hell's going to happen tonight, but I got no reason to doubt you, Mr. 12-2.
Well, I mean, there will come a time where I definitely hit a slide. I don't think that I'm going to win 12 of every 14 all year. It'd be
Why
cool
not?
If I did.
Yeah, it'd be better for all of us if you would.
Yeah, I mean, 3 weeks in, it's been pretty good. Like I said, 31-17 overall, which is a pretty nice little clip. So a game kicks in about 15 minutes, and we'll all just see if it's time to get back to fading to Dibber.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
the text line.
There you have it.
Having a very good time. Yak it in.
Okay.
Dibs has been sizzling. I take back calling him the cooler. I apologize. This is Guru. I'm jealous of this start by Dibs. I want him to lose. What does that say about me?
It's probably not the real Guru, but he actually said that on the air.
Right. Well, but there's the Guru that calls us too.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But the Guru who we work with was like, 12-2, I'm mad at you.
Right.
It's like, I want what you have.
And the Fade the Dibber song now beats the Nick Cannon intro on the roast.
Okay. That sounds good.
Those are the last five texts that we've gotten on the
perfect.
Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Right in the middle of Fade the Dibber.
Do we agree that Niner fans should be rooting for the Cardinals today, though?
Ooh.
Who do we think is the better team or maybe poses a bigger threat?
Probably Seattle, but you've got a road win in hand against them.
Right.
I don't know. How about a tie?
I was just thinking that. You're rooting for the tie. Yeah. Although I'm laying the 1.5.
What was it that McCaffrey said about the Super Bowl this past year? I hope both teams lose.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did too. Oh, that's a completely accurate statement. Ugh.
That was like the only playoff game I got right last year.
Awful. Awful. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
think.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.